Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Jonathan Blevins, I'll Give a Reflection, and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Jonathan Blevins, otherwise known as Bearded Blevins. I caught up with him at SEEK this year in Salt Lake City. And what he does is he live streams while playing video games. And during the game, he'll share the faith with those who are listening in, and they can have a repartee. They can go back and forth. They can ask questions. So he's witnessing to the gospel while playing games. And this is so important because I was reading over 65% of the country regularly plays video games. So he's taking the gospel into that digital space. He's also part of a podcast here for EWTN called Is This for Kids? And he reviews movies to see if their content is appropriate for kids. I'm now going to give a reflection from Hollywood. I'm here out in LA, in Hollywood to be specific, at the foot of the great Hollywood sign erected back in the 20s. Historically, this has been the heart of the film industry for America. We love our movies, don't we? We treat our celebrities and actors as royalty. It's so inspiring to see a good movie. And I think movies at their best do that. They reflect our humanity back to us in an inspirational way. Reflect maybe even our transformed humanity, our humanity elevated by grace. It's not real, but it should be realistic. That life has these moments of struggle. We see a film that maybe powerfully conveys this and it connects to us. We can relate maybe to pain or loss or some particular struggle or love, and it moves our hearts. Paul VI, in speaking to Italian filmmakers, said, "It is a fact that when, as writers and artists, you are able to reveal in the human condition, however lowly or sad it may be, a spark of goodness, at that very instant, a glow of beauty pervades your whole work. We are not asking that you should play the part of moralists, but we are expressing confidence in your mysterious power of opening up the glorious regions of light that lie behind the mystery of human life." Yeah, I heard it said that film is like showing us life but without the boring parts. And at its best, it reveals this goodness. And when you have some scenes of that, it can pervade the whole film. And it moves our hearts. It speaks to us so powerfully. The church teaches that beauty ennobles the mind that contemplates it, that the creative arts can penetrate and illumine the deepest recesses of the human spirit, that the arts can reveal the aspirations, the character, emotions, and thoughts of people even more than conceptual thoughts, even more than a lecture, right? We see a powerful movie, a powerful scene that just speaks to us. We can even go back and watch it again and again. There's an immediacy to it, that it talks directly, it touches directly our heart, because we can identify. It can motivate us, it can inspire us. So those in the media have a responsibility to present the truth of our humanity. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We have a dignity to present what is truly noble, just, and true. The temptation is to show what is debased in man. And maybe it can be a popular thing to do that. But when we show, as John Paul II described it, when we show these casual attitudes towards sex and human life, towards greed through materialism and consumerism, or irresponsible individualism, anger and vengefulness through violence. When we just show those parts, it brings us down. You know, and ultimately there's just a tedium about it. When you see a goodness in a character, there's just a fullness there. There's a predictability to evil. It just has a way of leaving us empty when we watch it. So if a movie has that in it, it's supposed to show the truth of these things, that they don't lead to human flourishing. That's not reality. When we live a moral life, we live a good life. When we live a life of sacrificial love, right, that leads us to flourishing. Goodness, mercy, sacrificial love, these things inspire us, fills us with hope, energizes us to do the same, to imitate it. I can do that. Maybe watch a good film, you know? What's presented before us, as in the book of Deuteronomy to the Israelites, you could choose life or you can choose death. That's in front of man with all his endeavors, with all the great technologies we develop, with all our great works. We have to orient them towards life, to the fullness of human life and flourishing. Jonathan Blevins, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks for having me, Father.
Again. And you're starting something new, but first let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Are you a Lions fan? I'm not sure.
Yes. Well, I'm born and raised in Detroit for the first 6 years of my life and saw a picture when I was seven of myself holding a Lions football with a Michigan hat on. And I thought to myself, this is who I am. And I've just been loyal and diehard all Detroit sports forever.
Okay. And you're here at SEEK in Salt Lake City. What are you doing here? What is your ministry here?
Yeah, SEEK brought me out. I do full-time content creation under the name Bearded Blevins, and SEEK brought me out to do a live stream to attract people to, especially young men, to the booth where they can register for SEEK next year, SEEK 26. And then I'm doing a couple of other live streams throughout the week where I'm going to be interviewing different people for my live audience on Twitch. And then I'll be doing some podcasting as well. And apparently I'm doing a press conference with Father Mike Schmitz, which don't know a lot about yet, but it'll be fun, I'm sure.
That's big time there. So to help people, like dinosaurs like me who are not in the gaming world, you're playing like some of the most popular games, and you're streaming, having a live conversation with people.
Right? Yes, yeah. So about 6 years ago, I started part-time streaming on Twitch. Twitch is a live stream platform owned by Amazon now. So it started out as this really small company called Justin TV, then it became Twitch, and then Amazon bought it. And so it's probably to this day, the most popular way to watch live stream and to watch content. Millions and millions of people both creating content daily and consuming the content daily there. Took a full time about 3 years ago. And I can go live, you can go live doing anything. You could do a rosary live, you could do a Bible study, a Q&A. It started out as a video game platform where you play video games and people can see your face and interact with the streamer. And the streamer can interact with the chat and answer questions. But now you can do cooking shows on there. I mean, if you have a camera, you can go live there. Mm-hmm. And it's a wildly popular thing.
Yeah. So the show is called Bearded Blevins. It's on Twitch, YouTube, TikTok.
Yep.
And something else.
Yeah, all of Bearded Blevins all over social media.
And okay. Instagram.
Instagram as well. And what I tell people, I did 15 years of full-time parish ministry in the church. So I have my master's in theology from Fordham. I was the director of evangelization and a youth minister for many years. Started streaming part-time. Saw God working really in cool ways doing that. And now I do it full-time. And I call it pre-evangelization. Right? We need more Catholic content. I'm the only full-time Catholic content creator who streams on Twitch. That's crazy. There are thousands of full-time Protestant streamers. I mean, you name it. Oh. It's similar to Bishop Barron when he first started on YouTube, and everyone's like, why is this priest on YouTube? Yeah. And now, if you're not on YouTube, as you know, with EWTN, then you're just going to be underwater. Yeah. Yeah. And Twitch is the same thing. Live streaming is really the new thing. People consume that content a ton. They love it, and they feel like they can be part of that community. And I call it pre-evangelization because I'm just being me. I'm talking about the things I love, sports, and video games isn't even really on the list. Sports, you know, barbecue, food, cooking, all this kind of stuff. And for some reason, people find me entertaining, and then they find out I'm Catholic, and God has used that for some really cool glory stories over the course of the few years.
And pre-evangelization is an official step of evangelization, and that's in all the books and everything. And I think, so just so people understand, you're playing like this really active game. Mm-hmm. It could be like a military style game or whatever. So you're having to focus on that, but you're having a headset on and you're talking to other people about whatever.
Yep.
Now, how do you do that? I mean, how do you...
People might laugh at this because you think video games and what would God care about video games? But I tried doing this a long time ago. I went live playing Madden. I had two people watching me, and I was trying to play the game. And they were making, why is this guy not talking to us? There's no one in here. And then I started talking to them, and I'm losing this game. I couldn't do it. And then I really do feel like God called me into this, you know, 6 years ago. And I went live for the very first time one night. 1,000 people show up, which is an insane number for, usually you get zero people for your first stream. Mm-hmm. I had like 1,000 plus people show up. And I was able to play the game and talk to them at the same time. It's just this one, it's I am a little bit, you can see I move a lot. Like I don't think I have ADD technically, but I could. But it's a lot of kind of memorization of the game and slow spots where you can look at chat, read what they're saying, respond, and then you can look at the game and then talk as you're playing.
Yeah, so you're hearing, they could be talking to you directly or you're reading it off the...
If I'm playing with another content creator, then the chat can hear both of us talking, but we can't hear them. So I'm most of the time talking to the people who are typing in the chat.
Oh, wow.
Think of it like a YouTube comment, same kind of thing. Yeah.
So you could like watch a Lions game and listen to your wife at the same time?
I can. She might tell you I'm not great at it. She might ask why I'm so good at it on Twitch, but bad at it in real life, but yeah.
Now the type of conversations, okay, so just to explain, I guess, pre-evangelization. I feel like, you know, I'm flying around, I'll get into conversations with people in airports and stuff like
sure.
that. A lot of times, we never get really too much to the faith. Sometimes I'm trying to just put a nice face on Catholicism.
100%. You know?
But the goal is ultimately to evangelize, to give them a reason for our faith and everything, to bear witness. But what would be some topics that you would discuss as an entrance, a gateway to a deeper conversation?
Sure. You know, the comment that I get the most, the thing that happens the most often is that people will say, you know, I love watching your content. You bring me so much joy. Life is really hard. How are you so joyful? That's like the most common way that I get to say, well, it's not because I'm good at this game or because I'm able to stream or because I have this job that you think is awesome. It's because I'm Catholic. Right. And I know, I believe that Jesus is God, and I believe that he died for us, and I believe that the Catholic Church is his church. And that's the most important thing to me, to my wife, to our family, and everything starts there. Uh-huh. And that's like, I get to just, that's kind of my candid, you know, answer. And then a lot of the questions flow. So when that happens, then the questions, the gates open, as you might imagine, on the internet. Mm. Why do you worship Mary? The Pope is a joke. You know, you name it. And then I can look at, pick and choose some of those comments and just give really loving and true answers about them. Responding in love, because they're lashing out, some of these people. And then the comments I usually get from those people are, well, no one's ever said that to me. Mm-hmm. No one's ever, and then all of a sudden now you've got this member of the community who's going to stick around and might be open to the faith for the first time ever. And there's been a bunch of people who've become Catholic from the stream, which is like, it shocks me to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, really. Well, let's talk about the numbers and like, like most of America's gaming. I joke with you. I played Pong, you know, back in the day, and I totally missed this big intense gaming world. But how many people are gaming today?
I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but it is a majority of people, you know, between the ages of, you know, 9 or 10 when parents start letting their kids. It's getting younger and younger, and I don't necessarily love that. All the way up to in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
and I would say a majority of those people gaming are playing actual games, not just a game on their phone.
Yeah.
Most of the research out there will include phone games. And who do you know that isn't playing some type of game on their phone at some point? But not just that. There's people with headsets and they're communicating with their friends who've moved away. It's become this great way where people can connect from all over the world and really no different than picking up a phone.
Yeah.
I don't call any of my guy friends anymore. Every once in a while, we'll connect and we'll play games for an hour and talk throughout that whole thing. Men like to have something to do, you know, as we talk.
So from age 25 to 40, a majority of adults are gaming.
I would say, yeah. And if either they grew up gaming, because this is the generation that, like my age people, we had and Nintendo 64 and Sega Dreamcast and PlayStation and Xbox, and now a lot of people have a PC that they'll build and play on there. If they're not growing up playing and continue playing, they're starting to play with their kids. which I think is awesome. Like if you're gonna go outside and throw the football around with your kid, why wouldn't you also, if they say, hey, mom, dad, would you play a game with me for an hour? Yeah. Why not take that time to bond, and do it together, and make sure they're not getting in any trouble?
And it is conversational. I know my brother had a friend he would play with, and sometimes I joined him one time, and they did have good conversations and stuff in it, and so that 25 to 40 adults. 60% men, 40% women.
Yeah, there's way more women playing video games and consuming video game content than I ever would have thought.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I go live in the morning from 7 a.m. until noon, 1 or 2. Mm. And a majority of the people watching me are either men and women who are at work, and they'll have me up on the side of what they're doing. If you're wondering why productivity is down, that's probably why.
Right.
Not because of me, but just all the content out there.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of women who stay at home with their kids, and they just put me up on the TV. Huh. And I will say, I am not a streamer for kids.
Yeah.
I talk about adult conversations, so I don't advertise myself as a kids streamer.
Yeah.
But you're not going to hear me cursing. There's not going to be anything that you would necessarily want your kid to hear.
Because you're married, you have how many children?
Married with two boys, a little girl, and another boy on the way in March.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so coming up here on 4.
So I know just that family life, people living that is such a draw to people, I think everyone really. It proclaims the gospel, I think. Now, why do you think the Protestant church has been so much better, or got there before the Catholics?
they do seem to do that a lot. I think, but they also make a lot of mistakes then doing that too, because the church is very patient, I think. And a lot of times that can be frustrating when you're trying to do new evangelization,
right.
But maybe sometimes it's prudent. But they also have a little bit of an advantage that there's not a lot of Protestant doctrine, if you will, out there that says that you can't go to church online.
Right.
And so we would say you need to go to Mass, And maybe in COVID you could have watched it on TV, but you got to get to Mass. And so that's another advantage that they have, is that they can, they can say, hey, we come worship here and we have this huge, thing happening. But also, if you wanted to stay online, we'll be live streaming it on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it as well, is that there's just a little more flexibility with them there.
Okay. Well, we got to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Jonathan Blevins. Jonathan, we were talking about the Protestant church and getting there. I think part of it too is, they can have all these pastors, and they can try different things. They're given the great freedom to try whatever. We have a priest in charge of a church and kind of leading and stuff like that. And it's not going to be as nimble, I don't think, in many ways, as a Protestant, especially like in America. I think we're good at innovation, trying different things and not being bound with the past, so to speak.
100%.
Now, interestingly, you don't let your children play games until what age?
So my wife and I don't quite know yet. This past year, college football came out for the first time in 15 years. It was like a big deal that this college football is back in. And I've played like 3 games with my boys of that. That's it. 3 ever. Mm-hmm. A total of maybe an hour of gameplay. And that was maybe 6 months ago, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
And our reason is kind of twofold. One, a lot of the kids that we see in our lives that are playing games at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7 it's the only thing they talk about.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they want to do. It can become quite addicting pretty quickly. And we just don't want our kids to do that. It's never been something that I've had. I've been a gamer my whole life, but I'm not like obsessed with them. If I stopped streaming tomorrow, I'd probably not play much anymore.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to be able to kind of have that freedom to choose to play and not just want to play because their friends are playing. And my kids love to play outside and we go on hikes and walks and they love to read. And I'd rather them continue to do those things than say, hey, why don't you sit in front of a screen? And I see all the advantages of gaming. I think it'd be a very cool thing. And it's very stigmatized in a negative way, I think, a lot in the Catholic Church. They can be very good, but there's no reason to rush into it. And there's no reason to, allow your kids to play for hours and hours on
end. Right. You can see how it'd be like feeding kind of the dopamine addiction in America. People are talking about kind of that quick hit of pleasure, intensity, kind of substitute intensity for intimacy, right? Maybe friendships and things.
100%. And I think you can foster those things with games. And I think that, so you ask what age, probably like 10, 11, We'll start introducing some Mario Kart, maybe Minecraft, some cool where they can, like, they're using their brain. It's not like as addicting as Fortnite can be, because Fortnite is like Candy Crush.
On steroids.
I was going to say something else. On steroids is a much better way to say that. And so when you play it one time as a kid, you're just, you're hooked. And you're playing against 99 other people and there's only one winner. So you can imagine how excited some of these kids get when they get a win.
Right.
It's kind of like this thing that they remember the way you might remember a sport event that happened in your life. It's kind of wild.
We're in Salt Lake City yesterday, the day before. I went out into the mountains and shot videos of the importance of being in nature.
Yes.
I was in front of a big mountain, and I think that is so important to keep that content. You know, if we're just behind screens, we're not, you know, God made this beautiful world for us, right? It speaks to us, nurtures us, it reveals him to us. And, you know, it's kind of a first stage of revelation. So yeah, just, I think that is so vital to spend time outside and enjoy God's creation.
Absolutely.
Now, you also have a podcast, or a video podcast, of Is This For Kids?
Yes, that EWTN sponsors, which is really fun. So it's great working with EWTN on that. My co-host and I, Mrs. Ruby, she's married with 5 kids. My wife and I have 4. We started this podcast as a way to help parents. So it's not a podcast for kids, right? Is this for kids? It's definitely a podcast for parents, where we talk about things that they might not want their kids to hear.
Right.
And so we've had a couple comments of people being like, "Oh, you're going to talk about, you know, Santa on this." I was listening to it in the car, and we're like, we're very clear this is a podcast for parents.
Right.
And there is just a ton, as you know, of media out there: video games, social media trends, social media apps, movies, new TV shows. I mean, Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these, they're all making these shows all the time. And it's impossible for parents to keep up. You can't.
Yeah.
Unless it's your full-time thing, which is kind of our full-time thing, is to keep up with this stuff, to go watch it, to know it, and then to be able to tell parents what to expect and how to keep their kids safe using media. And we don't say, you can't watch this, or, but we say, this is what's in here.
Yeah.
And this is the age recommendation we would give. You do what's best for you and your family on that. But it's been great. And I've got a lot of really good friends who are really good parents who are clueless about what is out there and don't know the lingo. And so their kids could come home and say 3 sentences that they don't understand at all. And it could be huge red flags.
Yeah.
And so we try to help them with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just to let them be aware of what content is in this particular media. Yeah, that would be so helpful. And to have 2 parents doing that. You know, I think that, because one, you all are given the grace, right, to raise your children.
Yep.
And so you're given that insight, you care, and you've thought about it. So, yeah, it is such a vital thing today. How often is that once a week, or?
So we actually get together once a month and film about 6 or 7 episodes for that to be released. And so the podcast releases a couple times a week. And it's on YouTube, and the EWTN version is awesome because we get to add some Catholic stuff in the beginning of each episode, which is great. And the cool thing, I think, is that we're so different. Ruby has, her oldest kid is, I think, 15 or 16 years old, and then she has one as young as 4. My oldest is 9, so she's way more lenient on what she lets in the house, and I totally get it because she's got kids from all ages, whereas I'm kind of known as the stick in the mud, who's like, nah, this isn't worth watching. There's better content out there.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, because people are going to, as they get older, they're going to encounter this stuff, right? And so it's maybe good to talk about these issues and maybe in ways that will present them in a more not so shocking way or something like that. So when they do come across them, and, you know, the young people will know how to deal with it, maybe how to minister to people caught up in bad stuff in our culture too.
100%. Yeah, I like to say your kids are going to know everything at some point. They're going to learn about everything.
Right.
Better to learn it from you
than
to learn it from someone that you don't know or trust.
That's a great point. Yeah. If we're not talking about it, somebody else is going to evangelize them on it.
Exactly.
Right?
So, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And thanks for all you guys do at EWTN.
Thank you. I think it's so good that Jonathan is out there in that digital space evangelizing. It's absolutely a great opportunity. And I think we'd call it almost like a pre-evangelization. I was struck by the fact that he told us that people ask him questions and become curious about the faith when they see his joy and his peace. You know, you hear him talk about his beautiful family. People want that. That speaks to them. And they want to know more. How are you doing this? How are you living this? And so then he can step in and talk more explicitly about the faith. It's a beautiful witness, you know, to how we are to evangelize. Well, send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Here on your promise I stand. I stand. You finish what you began. You meet me right where I am.
But I know who holds my future. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. There's never a day or an hour or minute, oh, no. Time in my life when you haven't been in it. I don't know what my future holds, but I know you hold it. My life is part of your plan. My name is calling your hand. Your love won't let me go.